AR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereeden here in the Fairbanks, Alaska studios at KFAR down on Fifth Avenue, and it is a balmy negative 10. This is nice compared to what we've had in the past, obviously, and we're good with that. It's supposed to get warm. Am we good to go?
Yeah, oh yeah, we're good.
And then we're going to get kicked in the sack again later on next week when we go back down to, what, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, back in the negative 20s?
Yeah, super fun.
Down to maybe negative 30 again. That's just God reminding us that we live in a god-awful place sometimes. And then off, looking forward to that, like Buckeye, Arizona's in their 80s. So there's that. Anywho, welcome. If you have any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, or complaints, feel free to call in 907-458-TALK. That's 458-8255. You can also live stream us at the KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And you can also live stream us as well at the KFAR Radio app that you can get on the Apple and Google store. That's always really cool. So, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right, some quick announcements. The Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be on March 12th. That's March 12th, 2026, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. That's 1730 to 1900 for our military folk out there. That'll be held at the TVSA range at 1230 TVSA Way, and they're going to be talking about bear baiting. That's pretty cool. TVSA will be having a spring 2026 gun show on April 18th and 19th, 2026. The show times will be from 10 to 5 on the 18th and 11 to 4 on the 19th. Admission is $5 per adult, $4 for active military. They're still probably looking for vendors. I haven't heard anything from Amelia Dell, who is the gun show coordinator. But if you want to have a table over there, it's only $75. Reach out to her at tvsa.us/gunshows. And she'll get you all set up over there. Public shooting hours also at the TVSA range are every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is only $5 for members and only $20 for non-members. And last but not least, the C4 Training Group is hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit in Fairbanks on June 20th and 21st. This exclusive immersive training event is designed to sharpen your defensive skills using ASP evidence-based techniques. This is If I remember correctly, Matt, this is from them like reviewing over, I think they're probably at 60,000 videos now and seeing how armed citizens have actually interacted or defended themselves. And they take that data from that and then incorporate that into a training event.
Yep.
Which I think is pretty freaking cool. You'll experience two transformative days of professional instruction tailored for real world self-defense scenarios. And the instructors will be Neil Widener and Chris Bean. We've had them on the show earlier. So if you want to go back and listen to that as well on our archives, that you can find at kfarradio.com. Go to our website, course calendar, get the link, or you can sign up and go directly to activeselfprotection.com/shop to sign up for that. All right. And our Alaska concealed handgun permit for C4 training group, $175. Next class is 21 through 22 March. It's a half day on that Saturday, full day on that Sunday. Because all too often, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in training later on, but all too often we hear stories of those who thought they could defend themselves only to find out from the decedent's family that they were ill-prepared. They never trained. Hey, because there is some reality to that. Like, you do not rise to the occasion. You're just literally going to collapse to your lowest level of training. So that is a fact, Jack. So this week in firearms history, not a lot. There's a lot of revolver stuff over the last couple weeks and stuff, but I found it pretty interesting that on March 5th, 1836, New Jersey chartered the Patent Arms Manufacturing Company for Samuel Colt. On this exact date, the New Jersey state legislature officially incorporated the Patent Arms Manufacturing Company in Paterson, New Jersey, the first factory dedicated to mass producing Samuel Colt's revolutionary revolving cylinder pistol. Never again will New Jersey ever do that again.
No.
Or that entire right coast, like
There's probably
chasing gun manufacturers out of there.
Yeah, states. There's probably a state representative that was around when that happened still, and he's probably mad that that even happened. So it's good.
Colt had received his landmark U.S. patent just 9 days earlier on February 25th for the revolving gun. We talked about that in the past.
Yep.
Started out as a 5-shot, early model 6-shot, percussion cap, folding trigger that dropped down only when the hammer was cocked, saving space and preventing accidental discharge. All metal construction. Typical calibers were 28 and 36, the famous 36 caliber Texas holster model. What I thought was also interesting is Colt was only 21 years old when he got the core idea for the rotating cylinder while serving as a 16-year-old sailor. He watched the ship's capstan, a ratcheting windlass, and realized the same locking mechanism could be used to align multiple chambers with a single barrel. He carved his first wooden model at sea from 1830 to 1831. There's a lot of boredom out there at sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Just out there whittling away.
Yep, just vomiting over the side of an old wooden ship and coming up with ideas and trying not to catch whatever.
Trying not to catch scurvy.
Yeah, some plague. Yeah, that's great.
Anybody remember to bring the oranges? yeah, so enough about that. Hey, let me get through my editorial because I think this is pretty important. We have two gun bills going right now in our legislature. The 34th legislator's section, second session or something like that. But anyways, let's see. Yeah, let's see. Thursday, March 5th, the Senate State Affairs Committee is holding hearings on two big bills that could reshape how we exercise our Second Amendment here in the 49th state. We've got Senate Bill 243, which is a winner for every hunter and shooter protecting their ears. And Senate Bill 203, which smells like a classic gun grabber Trojan horse disguised as mirroring federal law. Let's break them down, folks, because your rights are on the line. First up, Senate Bill 243. And this one's got my full-throated support. Sponsored by a solid lineup of Republican senators, this bill simply repeals the outdated section of Alaska Statute 1161-200 that lumps suppressors, those handy devices that muffle a firearms report, in with the prohibited weapons crowd, right next to bombs and grenades. Right now, even if you've jumped through all the federal hoops, paid the NFA tax stamp, well, which is now no longer required, and followed every rule from the ATF, Alaska state law still treats your suppressor like contraband. That's ridiculous in a state like ours, where the wilderness is your backyard and hearing protection is a matter of survival, not just comfort. How is this going to affect everyday Alaskans? Huge win, plain and simple. Suppressors aren't silencers from the movies. They cut the blast by 20 to 30 decibels, making shooting safer for your hearing without bulky earmuffs that block out the world around you. For hunters, that means better situational awareness. You hear the rustle of a moose or the call of your dog without going deaf from the first shot. Less recoil and muzzle rise mean more ethical, precise harvest, no more wounding game because the blast threw off your aim. As for our neighborhoods, creep closer to the woods. These tools reduce noise complaints, keeping public lands open and accessible instead of locked down by anti-gun busybodies. Groups like the Sportsman's Alliance are all over this, calling it a modernization of outdated statutory language that finally recognizes suppressors for what they are, essential safety gear for law-abiding folks. Unintended consequences of SB 243? Hard to find any bad ones. If anything, it future-proofs us against wild swings in federal policy. If the NFA ever gets reformed or repealed, Alaska won't be the state holding you back. More suppressors in responsible hands could even mean safer ranges and fewer noise violations. This is common-sense deregulation that empowers hunters, protects our ears, and sticks it to the nanny state mindset. Call your senator and tell them to pass it. Now flip the script to Senate Bill 203, introduced by Democrats and aimed at prohibited weapons. This one adds a new category to that same statute, any device designed, made, or adapted to convert a handgun into a firearm capable of shooting more than one shot automatically without manually reloading by a single function of the trigger. Think Glock switches, auto sears, or those cheap conversion kits that turn a semi-auto pistol into a full auto nightmare, stuff that's already a federal felony under the National Firearms Act and the machine gun ban. On the surface, it mirrors federal law, right? But dig deeper. And the NRA, ILA, nails it. This bill goes beyond what's needed at the federal level, creating state-level headaches for folks who legally own parts or accessories that could be misused. It could snag law-abiding Alaskans with AR-15 components, binary triggers, or even hobbyist builds that don't cross into full auto territory. And since federal law already crushes machine guns with heavy penalties, why duplicate it here? It's duplicative, unnecessary, and reeks of a slippery slope. Today's conversion device ban becomes tomorrow's assault on your favorite trigger upgrade or red dot setup. Unintended consequences? Plenty, and they're ugly. First, it risks ensnaring innocent owners. What if a gunsmith has a part in stock that could be adapted, or a collector with vintage gear? Enforcement gets sloppy, turning good people into felons over paperwork gotchas. Second, no real public safety payoff. Studies and testimonies show these bans don't dent crime rates, as bad guys ignore laws anyways. Third, it's a gateway drug to more bans. Handguns today, rifles tomorrow. In a state with more guns than people, this erodes trust in a system and could drive underground markets. Republicans on the committee should table this one fast. It's not protection, it's prohibition by another name. Shooters, armed citizens, this Thursday's hearing are your chance to be heard. Support SB 243 like your hearing depends on it, because it does. Oppose SB 203 like the rights grab it is. Flood those committee emails. Show up if you can. Remind Juno that Alaska stands for freedom, not federal copyright, copycat nonsense. Stay safe, stay vigilant, and keep those rights locked and loaded. God bless you, and God bless the great state of Alaska. We got to go into our first break. We'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Matt right after this break.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 2 above. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Scattered flurries likely tonight. Lows level off around 14 below. Partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance of snow. Highs around 11. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's still currently 10 below, like God hasn't shined on us yet and warmed it up to balmy. Oh, no, it went up to 9 below.
Oh, my goodness. Everyone put your shorts on. Go outside. Get
you
a know, boogie
it's funny
board.
You should say that, because you walk around like at Fred's or Walmart or any of those other places, and you'll see people wandering around with shorts on now. Anytime we start getting up into the single digits, after you do 50 below here, everything else is warm.
Nobody cares. What an outrageous statement. Do you understand that? When you start getting into the single digits, anyone else on the planet would go, you are out of your mind up here. They're like, you know what? I might go surfing today. Like, that is just crazy.
Yeah, the boar tide.
Yeah, exactly.
Surfing the boar tide.
You just wax the bottom, take the fins off, you're good. Just slide.
Yeah. So I just finished up my editorial there, Matt, and we were talking about two of those gun bills at SB 243, which is a hearing protection, and then the SB 203, which is one we want to make sure never gets out of committee. But, you know, it kind of reminded me last night. I was like, oh, let's see what's happening now with SB 136, which is the Firearm Financial Privacy Act, our gun owner financial privacy bill. And it also has a champion House bill, 143. Let's see. It was introduced in March 19th of 2005 by Mike Cronk and co-sponsors, with a matching bill sponsored by the House Representative Kathy Tilton and others. The bill explicitly aims to stop credit card companies, payment networks like Visa and MasterCard, and financial institutions from tracking firearm and ammunition purchases. Because we know what's going to end up happening eventually.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally have a credit card bill that would be like denied.
Yeah.
I want to buy 1,000 rounds of 9mm. Denied.
That happened with American Express. There were a few people that were purchasing fire. And at first, it was thought, okay, maybe they just didn't have the funds. Maybe they thought it was a faulty purchase. But in some of the groups I'm in, people were talking about specifically. Now, again, this isn't proven, you know, whatever. This is just through experience. But people had gone to purchase firearms in states that were not very firearm friendly using an Amex card, and the purchase was denied, and their purchases weren't denied before that or after that. It was just while they were at that store. So I don't know if it was a code that the credit card machine's using or what, but there were people that were denied from that.
Yeah. You have to remember, you are the product.
Yes. Yep.
To all of these companies, we are the product.
Yeah.
They collect so much data on us. It's freaking amazing. Like, if you go and buy beer or alcohol, let's say you go, I've seen people push around a cart in like Costco that has like 5 gallons of vodka in it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just hypothetical. But you can't tell me that a credit card company doesn't see the tracking on that.
Oh, yeah. There's
a code on there for everything that you purchase.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why you get this mailer in from Fred Meyers that says, here's a milk coupon.
Yep.
Here's a coupon for this. Here's a coupon for that, because they're tracking all of your purchases, or they want to just try to push that on you. However, especially if you use a loyalty card.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And if you use a Costco card, that's a loyalty card.
Yep. They're grabbing all your SKUs and they're seeing what you be. I mean, Walmart's a perfect example. Walmart, in case you guys haven't been paying attention when you go grocery shopping, a lot of the tags at Walmart outside of, I think, some meat and produce, they've gone full digital, where one will have the price and the rest are just a barcode where you scan it on the app and it'll show you a price. But basing off of what you purchase in the past using the same card over and over again, the product changes prices based off of how much you purchase it. And that's right. Not, you know, someone might be listening and thinking there's no way. Look it up. Walmart openly admitted to this a few months ago. That's why they changed all their price tags on everything. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I guess the point we're trying to get to is this. If that tracking becomes available, there is going to be a point to where this data is sold to your life insurance company, your health insurance company. Like, if it already hasn't been.
Yep.
Oh my God, you bought like 5 gallons of vodka in June, July, August, or whatever. Like, and you don't have a business license or something like that.
Your premium just went up.
Your premium just went up. Excuse me, I got somewhat of a cough. But, you know, life insurance just went up. Your health care just went up. And then, oh, by the way, if like a doctor submits a claim for you for, I don't know, liver issues, like, oh, denied.
Yep.
Yeah, because of your past purchases. But even more so, I think the government's ability to say, this guy buys a lot of ammo.
Yeah.
This guy buys a lot of guns. And so could it become like a tracking system? Oh, yeah.
Well, and then the...
Because you're the product.
And the other thing, too, sorry to...
You're fine.
What was it? It was either last year or a few months ago. But in California, people are suing Glock, which I completely forgot about this, as much as we talked about the Gen V stuff and everything that was going on with Glock and its lawsuits. I forgot that it was... let me backpedal. The DA... whatever their hierarchy of the state is, sent out letters to owners saying that you have this pistol that's on a non-compliant list now. A lot of the Gen 5s, 4s, 3s, anything that had that, their full auto capability to easily
be, could potentially have a Glock switch.
Yeah. And the question was how. Now, California does have a has or had a registration where you had to say, you know, I have this pistol. Here's what's going on, whatever. But the DA doesn't have access to that at all. The state just has it as a register to say, yes, you are allowed to have this, whatever. And what the theory is and the lawsuit that's stemming from it is that Glock openly gave up information as to where their products were sold and then possibly by who. Now, I know that's very hard to do when you have the 4473 and everything else. It's
which
not
has to make a model on it anyway.
Yeah, and it's not supposed to be reported. It's just as a background check. It's not supposed to be a registry of whatever kind it is. But
we know that ATF has done that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the fact that they deny it for this and the district is saying, nope, how do you get that? How do you get that information? You have it on some registry.
Well, now they can get it by just tracking your credit card purchases.
Yep.
So with the current status of this bill, let's see, a hearing was held January 2026, but as of March 2026, it has not yet passed the full legislature or been signed into law. It remains active in the current session, at least right now. So make sure you go track out SB 136, HB 143. We need to make sure that these pass within the state of Alaska. A lot of other states have already done this. They basically pass similar Second Amendment privacy or anti-tracking laws to block it. So Alaska's version kind of follows those models as well. So we need to make sure that our stores and credit card companies cannot store any or flag any type of suspicious bulk ammo or firearm buys, period. So there we go on another slippery slope. All right, Mr. Matt, what else we got going on today?
Really quick, I wanted to see if you either had seen this or had heard about it. But when we were talking earlier about the Colt Patterson revolver, the folding trigger that dropped down only when the hammer was cocked, I don't know why it made me think about it. This company went out of business, I want to say in like 2022, 2023. And I don't remember the company's name either. I just know that it went out of business. My buddy had purchased it, and I thought it was the weirdest thing. Maybe it had a good use case. I'm not sure, but it was this company would take your Glock. Either they were taking yours and then retrofitting it, or they were selling them already done. But they would essentially chop the grip just above where the trigger sits. So where my hand, where the webbing in my finger, or between my thumb and my index finger would be, they would chop it. And then they would get rid of the trigger guard, and it would replace with this like, I don't know, like a door latch almost. And the trigger, when you're not using it, you'd press this button and you could fold the handle down. The trigger would collapse on itself and the magazine would protrude out. And when you wanted to use it, you would pull it back out into its what would look like a Glock. And the back would latch, the trigger would come down and it would be actionable. Do you ever remember that?
No.
My buddy had one of those and I told him from the start, I didn't like it. You're changing up too much of the Glock. You're changing too much, you're adding too many reliability possible issues to the firearm itself. But yeah, I don't know why that folding trigger thing popped up. And I just immediately thought of how that pistol was even a thing. I know the whole point was like a pocket carry. It didn't look like a pistol when it was folded up. It looked more like a bulky iPhone or something like that. But yeah, super weird technology. I don't even know how they came up with that or why they thought that was the best idea ever.
I don't know. That's interesting. Kind of like searching the interwebs right now to see if anybody ever has come up with that.
Yeah, right here. Folding Glock 19 or 43. Who made it? Yeah, that's exactly what it was, though. So if you're listening and obviously you're not driving, just Google folding Glock. And the first thing that pops up is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so what manufacturer? Who did that?
Let's see. M3D was the title of it.
Huh.
Trying to see.
I noticed that the whole magazine comes completely out as well. So it's basically inside the magazine.
Yeah, so the magazine is sitting in that grip, and then as you start to fold the grip up, the magazine would
has to rotate out.
Go back down and then lock into
the magazine.
Excuse me. Oh no, it was just the whole thing was called the Full Conceal M3D. That's just what I guess the company was either named or selling it under. But yeah, it was a modified 19 or a 43. Hinged grip that folds over the trigger guard, often allowing a 21 round magazine.
Hmm.
I don't know. There's too many reliability issues with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be playing around.
Way too many.
Falcon Seal M3. The Falcon Seal.
Yeah, after... Oh, yeah, they went out in 2021, earlier than
I thought. Yeah, so it was a company based out of Las Vegas. Transforms a standard Glock into a highly concealable, foldable firearm while preserving full-size functionality when deployed. Yeah. Can't
I remember
say that I have seen that.
We took it shooting, and that thing... It didn't malfunction in the way I thought it would. It was just a lot of feeding issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then the magazine would drop free half the time.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, it's exactly what you want. You know, you're training in a real-life scenario. You know, you may have to protect yourself and something happens. My mag falls out and I'm doing a mag change. It's good.
All right, we got to go into our first mandatory break. When we come back here at Shooter's Corner, we continue on a conversation about training and some of the modifications or things that are happening on in the firearms world. So stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner in Fairbanks, Alaska, KFAR 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
From the Satellite West Studio, satellite-based voice communications. You're listening to KFAR Radio.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Daria Albinger. Kristi Noem is out as Homeland Security Secretary. Fox's Jackie Heinrich.
Kristi Noem, the DHS Secretary, has faced a turbulent period in the last few weeks. Amid the fallout, the response to the ICE deportation campaign in Minnesota, some public statements that she made, and then most recently this week, her testimony on Capitol Hill, there were reports that her defense of her campaign, her ad campaign, $200 million in spending that prominently featured her sometimes on horseback, claiming that the president, according to these reports, had approved of that, reportedly upset him.
She'll be replaced by Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who will need Senate confirmation. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
12-year-old Alaska boy with cancer builds gift baskets for hospitalized kids. Alaska News Source reports Nathan Ewell, a 12-year-old boy diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma, plans to deliver more than 100 baskets to children at two Anchorage hospitals during Easter week. Nathan is currently undergoing chemotherapy for his cancer and is assembling gift baskets for other kids in the hospital. Nathan fills each basket with items including a coloring book, candy, and a stuffed animal. He plans to deliver them to children at Providence Alaska Medical Center and the Alaska Native Medical Center during Easter week. Nathan said the experience of sitting in a chemotherapy chair every other week prompted the idea. Nathan and his mother raised thousands of dollars for the project through Facebook, family, friends, and a Walmart shopping trip. Nathan said it brings him joy to see other people happy. Nathan also continues to earn straight A's in school and was recently inducted into National Junior Honor Society. Nathan's final chemotherapy treatment is scheduled for April, and a Make-A-Wish trip to Disney World, including the Star Wars section of the park, is planned to follow.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair. When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters. No matter what it is, small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more, you'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV, North Pole.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. With our variety of CompuStar remote starts available, we are sure to have an option to fit everyone's needs. Enjoy many features like smartphone control with drone mobile, two-way rechargeable remotes, proximity unlock, additional security alarm, and so much more. With over 30 years of experience, Auto Trim Design takes pride in being CompuStar's only pro dealer in the interior. Contact us today to set up your appointment to have your remote start professionally installed. Stay warm with Auto Trim Design this winter.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. Here with Chuck and Matt here at Shooter's Corner. As always, we're here at the KFAR studios here in Fairbanks, where it's a negative 9. Unless it's warmed up. Don't know. Have we got the negative 8? Oh, crap, we're at negative 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Time to get the bikini on. Throw on a light coat of Break Free and run around the world.
If it goes one more, I might, I don't know, I might just have a barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Thong and a Break Free. Yeah. Well, you can actually go out and, like, turn on the grill now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would actually start up. Yeah.
Like, deep fried a turkey one time at 20 below. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Nothing's wrong with, like, shoveling out the grill.
It'd take, like, 4.5 hours to warm up.
Yeah, pretty much. But let's see. Oh, if you missed the first part of our show, feel free to jump on there to KFARradio.com. Click on that link that says Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereed and scroll down and you'll find all of the past shows in the archives. Which is pretty cool to listen to because we are very entertaining. All right. So, anywho, on to what you got going on here, Matt. It says price competitiveness, globalization drove the change.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was just how drastic the firearms industry has changed or sometimes circled back within the last decade. I think most notably from 2015 to 2020 was a huge jump. And then especially 2020 to now is probably even bigger. But the price competitiveness and globalization drove the change for the American-made market. And most of that's stemming from accessories, right? There's not a huge influx of non-American-made firearms that are really making waves. But one of the things that I always think about was how when Holosun first became a thing, it was cheap CCP garbage that no one wanted because it was from China. It's not American made. Why go with that when you have Trijicon? You're supporting communist filth, whatever. And I even in up until 2020, it was considered, you know, a good starter budget optic, but people wouldn't depend on it. There was not enough.
Hold on there, Matt.
Oh,
hello, Chris.
Hi.
Hi, you're on Shooter's Corner with Chris and with Chuck and Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How many times have I told you that during this time we're normally on a radio show on Thursdays?
Yeah, I totally spaced that out. Hey, you guys enjoy your show.
All right. Have a great day. Love you, son. I just had to do that.
Someone's sitting there thinking, wow, he's calling him out. I think that love you, son, really sealed it. It's like, oh, okay. It's not just some random guy.
Yeah, I didn't mute my phone, but it's still funny. I thought that was funny. All right. Yeah, feel free. Call him.
call Chuck or the radio station now, I guess. Yeah, we can put you on speaker. No, please don't. So everything was just...
At least it wasn't somebody checking to see if I had, my car warranty was expired.
Oh, my God, yeah. Some scam site.
So anyways, back to what we were talking about.
This is why I love this show.
Just, me too.
It's so fun.
All right, so anyways, what you're talking about is not a lot of major firearms are coming out so much, like the Turkinellis and those kind of things, but they're making more accessories.
Yeah, and it became widely adopted to accept foreign-made products for a few different things. So one is the price, right?
Price points.
When you, if you guys go online and you go on YouTube and look up Brass Facts, he did a really good video on this recently talking about how the consumer market went from American made to who's just got the best price, what's the quality of the optic or that product. And I think where a lot of that stems from is one, a lot of these foreign-made companies were giving products to Ukrainians and Russians and whatever, and we're seeing it used, and we're seeing what products have worked and what hasn't. And I think the other part of it, too, is while Trijicon, Aimpoint, you know, all those notable brands in the firearms industry that have never really veered from having like immaculate quality control and being, you know, bomb proof. I think the problem people are having now is that they're not being innovative. They're not coming up with something that people want. They're coming up with stuff that is now already 5 years behind in the market. Sure, they're pulling an Apple where when they come out with it, it's going to be the best on the market, but you're already behind. Everyone already has a different product. You look at the RMR HD, you can't even get one for 9 months. It's on a back order. And then, or you can go with, you know, the Holosun 507 comp, which does the exact same thing, has a bigger window, and it's about $500 cheaper than the RMR HD. So you look at that and you think, well, why am I going to buy American made if it's more expensive, it's hard to get, and it's kind of outdated. And then it trickles into other things. You have American made companies like Magpul who make great furniture, great stocks, you know, everything you can think of, great magazines, and their magazines seem to be the only thing that really holds up when it comes to their buyer's market. That is their biggest product that they sell outside of, I think, the CTR stock. But you can look at 1,000 other companies now that are just having stuff injection molded across the pond and then sent over here for a third of the price, and they actually work well. So
a case in point, though, is, and this is valid. Let's look at that real quick. So the Holosun 509T, which is titanium housing.
Yep.
Right? Pretty low profile.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, I don't know, the Trigicon freaking RCR.
Yep.
Which is their ruggedized closed reflex sight, right? Which is huge. Yep. It's almost as big as a freaking Aimpoint Acro.
Yep.
On there. But it has an aluminum frame, like cast aluminum or whatever, forged aluminum, if you want to call it whatever. But nonetheless, like, I get it. But the price is like double of what a 509 is.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I use a lot of 509s. I have them on my shotguns. I have them on a Henry 4570, right? Because it's a good reflex sight.
Yep.
And I'm not shooting a 4570 over 100 yards for the most part anyways. And I have them on my handguns as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I've ever had a problem with those, I send them direct back to the factory. There's no bitches, gripes, complaints. They swap it right back out.
Yep.
Trigicon, on the other hand, I've had some Trigicon sights, like some ACOGs and stuff like that, that have failed.
Yep.
Man, it's like try and get your freaking leg cut off to, like, get them to do anything sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I kind of get it. I think sometimes the American industry has kind of screwed themselves. And like you said, their innovation was, like, what, 4 years behind what other companies were doing anyway?
Yeah, at the soonest, even in that matter, too. I mean, you look at EOTech when they came out with their Voodoo line of LPVOs, and it's, again, $3,000 to $4,000 for a 1-6 or even some of their 3-9s. And you can go with Primary Arms, which their PLX or SLX series. It's all American made outside of they get the glass from Japan, which Japan
Japanese
has
glass amazing. Is actually amazing.
Yeah. And it's still half to two-thirds of the cost of that. And it's been out for 10 years already.
Yeah, we have a good friend, Craig, who runs Primary Arms stuff and like loves it.
Oh, yeah.
I've highly of it.
I use Primary Arms stuff, too. I mean, I use Primary Arms mainly to build firearms, get all the accessories I can, because they offer really great deals. They're quick shipping, even up here, surprisingly enough.
Speaking of that, so I know we got to go into our last break here, but we got a little time to flex here. But you, we were talking last week about Arrow Precision.
Yeah.
Right? How did you find an Arrow Precision lower?
Oh, yeah. So that was...
Because that was kind of the thing that baffled me. I was like, hold on, will you just talk about them like going out of business, like fake stocking shelves to like for their investors? Like, did somebody just find this thing in their basement and you bought it from them or something? Like,
no. So actually, that was really lucky. I went into Alaska Ammo to pick up some 147 grain 9mm, and I was just looking at their shelves as any man does. You just browse. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to get ammo. That's a lie. Right. And I'm looking at their lower receivers, and I'm like, oh, is that a Griffin Defense? One of their fully ambidextrous lower receivers. And then I'm looking at it more. I don't see that there was no Arrow logo on the right side, which is not normal for Arrow Precision stuff.
Well, they had to save money.
So yeah, they did. Absolutely. They cut out their
on that side.
Yeah, the laser engravers. They had to sell them so they could pay rent. But but yeah, I'm seeing it, and then I see Arrow M4E1, and I was like, that's so weird. And then it clicked in me because I'd seen their M4E1 Pro series years ago when they were talking about it at SHOT Show, and then when they unveiled it, but I'd forgotten about it. You don't see Arrow products. It's very hard, like we discussed, very hard to find Arrow products in stock anywhere. and I saw it was a really good price, and I snagged it up, and it's built it out. I haven't fired off of it yet, but I mean, I was actually really surprised because their QC was notorious for going down right around the COVID time frame, and it's well above tolerance levels. Like, it's phenomenal. Not over Cerakoted, and yeah, just great.
All right, let's go into our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about training a little bit as well, because you got some points that you had found is that I think will be interesting to the listening public. So, all right, stay tuned here with Chuck and Matt with Shooter's Corner, and we're going to be right back after this last break.
Auto Trim Designs Tint and Paint Protection Film Department is now open. Their professional installers are ready to keep your vehicles looking sharp and protected all year long. Auto Trim Designs self-healing PPF shields your paint from scratches and wear, helping your car stay flawless for years. And with their window films, it adds a stylish deep black color to your vehicle windows. It also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by today.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Bright sunshine expected today with a high of 2 above. Southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Scattered flurries likely. Lows dip down to about 14 below. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Dereden at Shooter's Corner here at KFAR Studios in Fairbanks, Alaska, 97.5, 660 AM. And you can also listen to us live at KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says Listen Live. There's also a Apple app and a Google Store app for your Android users to where you can just click on it and listen live to the show. Well, actually, the streaming out of KFAR. All the time, even if you're out in the middle of nowhere, lower 48, driving around, listening to Starlink. So Matt and I were just finished up. We were talking about some of the price competitiveness, globalization, accessories. I just wanted to bring up one other thing about the accessories thing. Mm-hmm. And Matt, just kind of follow along with me. I think what we see, though, is a lot of people just keep adding crap to their gun.
Yeah.
It is my belief, and based on my training and past experience, that for the most part, don't add a lot of crap to your gun if that's mm-hmm. going to be your home defense gun. I would submit, and feel free to jump in here, that for any gun that's going to be used as home defense, let's say, like, if I have an AR that's going to be used as home defense, one, I should probably have a suppressor on it, if best case, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want to, like, blow my ears out and everybody else's in the house, right? I don't care about bad guy because, well, I'm blowing his ears out in another form or fashion. But nonetheless, I probably want to have a light on it. Help identify targets, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe some type of maybe spare ammo, if will. Like if I need to have additional mag carry or something like that, though. Even for most home defenses, I mean, if we wanted to go statistically, like a 28-round magazine, because I never fully load them to 30 rounds anyways, yeah. because that creates malfunctions sometimes. But nonetheless, I have some type of light, spare ammo or something, and then maybe some type of sighting system, and then maybe a suppressor for AR. For a shotgun, if I'm running like a 1301 or a Benelli M4 or maybe even a pump like a Remington 870,
yeah.
I'm going to have a side saddle on there with additional ammo because I have to fight what's on the gun. I'm not going to throw a bandolier on when I'm in my tidy whities. I need to have a light on there. So even for the pump, Remington 870, you can get a Streamlight forward end that has a light built into the pump action, right? Or if it's a, you know, my Benelli or a 1301, I can have a light on there with a switch activation on my rail systems, right? And then maybe another side saddle, whether it's the Velcro strips or whatever. I like the Velcro strips.
Yeah.
E-tacks.
The only thing I'd add to this is a sling as well. For
thank you. Yeah. Yes. I apologize. And a sling, right? Because I need to be able to stow the gun or carry it properly or sling it around my neck. But I don't need all the other stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's a very big... I will say again...
Like, do I need a D-ball on a home defense gun?
No, absolutely not. Because the likelihood of you having... If someone's breaking in and I have to arm myself, right? Time is already of the essence. So I'm not going to, you know, put on my nods. I'm not going to put on a plate carrier. You know, I'm most likely it's going to be a rifle and butt cheeks. And that's what's like defending the house right now. Not, right. I can't put everything on. So on a home defense weapon, absolutely not. It does not need... everything you can possibly imagine. It's weight. It's all more extra money that you'd have to spend. Don't need it on a home defense weapon.
I might add this. Maybe like a light coat of break free as well on myself because it makes it harder for you to grab me.
Yeah.
I know that's a visual for a lot of listeners.
Just think of an oiled pig trying to wrestle an oiled pig. You're breaking into my house. It's going to get real weird. All right. If I can get that gun
really
away from you.
Weird
yeah.
quickly.
Yep.
All right. Anyways. So yeah, I don't think we need to add like a whole bunch of stuff on there, but let me say this, as I always say, mission dictates equipment.
Yes.
So that makes sense for like the Navy SEAL sniper Green Beret dude to have all of that stuff in there, right? Because by having IR lasers and stuff, I communicate with my team in that form.
Yep.
However, I'm not communicating with a full team, you know, in my house.
Yep.
So at best, maybe with like a spouse or something like that, another battle buddy, but.
Yeah, okay. I don't need the filters on a peck. That one's a triangle, so I know who my team leader is. And the line is my daughter, and this is, you know, all that.
Yeah, I'm not running FBCB2 in my house.
Yeah.
All right. What else did we have going on here? We were talking about training. You had brought up a point here about the explosion of gun tuber.
Yeah. So for anyone listening that is out of the know, which I think people that are interested or that keep up with this understand what like gun tube is. And I hate that term, but it's the only applicable one at this point. But it's people online that are either very interested in firearms or companies that dedicate time to training, firearms reviews, whatever. They all have the nickname gun tube. And one of the things I think about often is I think it started with the those old Magpul videos with Travis Haley. You remember those, like on VHS and DVD?
Oh, and that Coast Guard guy was on there with him.
I think so, yeah. And like they would teach you stuff. They would show you how to shoot, you know, all this stuff. And that was really cool. And I think at one point in time, that's unless you went to a class, you had that. You tried to mirror that. And I think with the explosion of gun tube, again, really big with 2020, with the political climate, everything going on, people were afraid that weapons were getting taken away. Everyone was just afraid of everything. A lot more people came out of the woodworks and started posting online. They started posting their training regimens. They started posting, here's how you do this. I'll admit I consume a lot of it. One, because it's helpful for the job to understand what people are wanting to know, what people are trying to see. And the other part is too, I do learn stuff from there. Obviously, I'm not just watching it and thinking you know everything. You take it in, write it down, whatever, and then you reference it, try it out. If you don't like it, whatever the case is. But it is way more accessible now to train firearms, medical, all that stuff within reason than it was in 2015, 2010, 2000, and, you know, older and older and older. But a lot of the time you're able to put out or people are putting out high production videos and it's covering everything from basic marksmanship, fire manipulation to advanced tactical drills, self-defense scenarios, and you're getting rid of the high cost of traveling to a class. Now, you're not getting rid of it in the sense of like, I don't need to go, but you're able to have, I would say, a better loose foundational understanding before you maybe go to this class. Maybe you're practicing this at home. You're not understanding what's going on. You're trying it out with your friends. And then you go to the class. I think it's way better that people are able to see, here's what these people are teaching. Should I take their class? I think that helps a lot of people. Orion Training Group, a bunch of SWAT guys and former, I think two former GBs, Green Berets, their classes weren't getting a lot of traction. They started putting stuff on YouTube and now they're constantly sold out. So I think it does help a lot.
As far as a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, maybe. For marketing.
Right. I think what herein lies one of the innate problems with just the YouTube videos is there are a lot of people that just think that that is the sole training source in and of itself.
Yeah.
And that is not true. As we know that there's different ways that humans learn.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are tactile. Some of us can see something and then kind of like emulate it or kind of we got experiential learning by just by watching. But nonetheless, I think a lot of people just need the structure of a classroom because I think what you also get out of that from a trained instructor or a professional is the ability for that person to see what you have going on and then maybe give you other courses of action based off of what they're observing. For instance, grip on a gun, right? Your hand size dictates how your grip on the gun is going to be.
Absolutely.
So do we need to maybe modify your grip? Do we need to modify the gun, right? How's that going to work? Trigger press, right, is another one. Like a lot of people, you can't naturally like see how that's going to work on a YouTube video. You can hear the person talking about it,
yeah,
until you actually feel it, right? That tactile feel of how a correct trigger press is supposed to be. You don't know that.
No.
So I think that there's some benefit to going to actual classes.
Yeah. I mean, and think of it in the simplest terms. A doctor and a lawyer, they're not, you know, you're not a surgeon because you read books on surgery. You're not a lawyer because you've read the law. It's a good stepping stone, right? People, I've seen it. I've had people argue with me a bit where they're, I watch this video, you know, whatever. I watch this guy. I've done all of his training stuff. I'm great. That's awesome that you watch that stuff, but again, that's like reading the Ranger handbook on my own and then thinking I'm a Ranger. That's not the case at all. You still have to go get the training. You still have to go get the qualifications and do all of that sort of stuff to even be remotely close to where you want to be.
It kind of, yes, and exactly what you said, like just reading it, it's not going to be good.
Yep.
Because even in the military, we had explanation, demonstration, practical application, and evaluation.
Yeah.
Right? I can explain it to you. But until you actually do the practical application and then an evaluation on a time standard or a standard, right,
mm-hmm.
then you become proficient at it.
Yep.
Because, well, in real life, your evaluation is going to be when bad guy jumps up.
Yep.
And a lot of people are never going to be properly evaluated until that happens. But can we simulate some of the evaluation?
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. And we could do that based on time standards, maybe some other things in, within a class in and of itself. So I think that's probably one of the more important things to remember as well.
Yeah, and I think it's just, again, there's nothing wrong with if you're on a budget or you're extremely budgeted, maybe you had a firearm already, and you want to practice certain things. Again, there's a wealth of knowledge on the internet. YouTube, again, big one where I can see what's going on. Maybe they're walking me through it. I can't tell you how many times I've gone on YouTube to fix a problem with a computer or a car. The same thing. I'm not a mechanic.
But that's different. I've done that before. Like, how do I disassemble this? Well, somebody's made a YouTube video. Yep. And I told people before, like, oh, yeah, you could almost build a house with YouTube now.
Yeah.
But to be able to diagnose your shooting issues,
yep.
that might not necessarily be the case.
And I can watch that video, but it's not going to tell me the answers to my problems.
Right.
It's a good...
might be a good foundation. It might be a good start, but it's not going to be the end state.
Yeah. I would say it's a diagnostic, if anything.
There you go. There you go. So I think what's really cool is the fact that a lot of that stuff can all be circled into the program we have coming up here in June 20th and 21st,
yes.
which is actually these gun tuber guys who are actually really good, phenomenal shooters, and they work with John Correa and the Active Self-Protection Team. They're coming up here and doing a class. Now, when we talk about value, that is freaking value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that is going to be amazing for the cost of that class to have two master trainers who are really good at their job to come up here and do that in the city of Fairbanks. Like that's going to be huge. But also remember too, like C4 Training Group is your go-to for all the firearms related training here in the city of Fairbanks. Like if you are new to shooting or you just bought a gun and you want to know how to be able to operate it properly, our start basic pistol classes, which is a ACHP class. And you don't have to apply for the handgun permit if you don't want to.
No.
You're just going to get a certificate anyways, and you can use that to apply for it. But if you just want to learn the NRA basic pistol skill sets, that's the place to start out.
Yeah,
as well.
I would say that.
And that would be a good foundation as well.
That it's worth it. And on top of it, the statistics and data-driven points that are discussed in the class are great. And the other thing I really love about it is the legal aspect of it, explaining what's going to happen or what could happen. Here's what's, you know, what you're going to have to deal with. I love that.
Yeah, so just real quick, couple announcements. Remember, we have March 12th, we have what? Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program, TVSA Range, March 12th. The bear baiting training. Remember, TVSA's gun show, 18th and the 19th, 2026. We will see you guys next week. I think it's Cindy and I's 44th anniversary next Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, right? So stay tuned next week. We're going to talk more about shooting and shooter corner stuff. Be safe out there.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening
News
to
and Conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks, K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.